Ever looked up at a basketball soaring through the air, maybe, or watched a car break suddenly and wondered, about the invisible rules governing its every move? It's all about understanding the fundamental principles of motion. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the core concepts of mechanics, drawing from a collection of comprehensive study notes on how objects move and interact.
Exactly. And our goal in this deep dive is really to unpack these foundational ideas. We're talking about everything from how we define an object's starting point and destination, right through to predicting its complex journey through space. We want to give you a clear shortcut, sort of, to understanding this essential area of how our world moves.
Okay, so let's get into it. When we talk about describing motion, especially with constant acceleration, the real workhorses are what we call the equations of motion. These equations cleverly link, what is it, five key
That's
variables.
right, five. You got the initial speed, usually called u, the final speed v, acceleration a, the distance covered, or displacement s, and time t.
Right. Initial speed, final speed, acceleration, displacement, and time.
And what's truly powerful here is how these, well, elegant equations, like v, u plus at.
Final speed equals initial speed plus acceleration times time.
Precisely. Or another really useful one is s, e plus at hadecial for displacement. These allow us to precisely predict an object's journey. They're incredibly useful. Think about calculating how long it takes a car to stop, maybe, or the speed of an apple falling from a tree.
So these aren't just abstract formulas, then.
Not at all. I mean, for anyone listening who thought these were just, textbook exercises, they're actually the backbone of everything from designing roller coasters to launching satellites. Really fundamental stuff.
Okay, but hang on. Before we even think about applying those equations, we need to clarify something quite basic, don't we? The different types of physical quantities we use, what exactly are we measuring, and why does it matter? We're talking about scalars and vectors here.
Yes, and this raises a really important question. Why is direction so crucial in physics? Most people instinctively get scalars, quantities like, say, temperature or just distance. They only have magnitude and number, like 20 degrees or 5 miles,
Just the amount.
just the amount. But vectors, things like velocity or force, they demand both magnitude and direction. So, for example, if you say you've traveled 10 miles, that's a scalar distance. Simple. But if you say you've been displaced 10 miles to the east, now that's a vector. It tells you where you ended up relative to where you started.
Okay, so the east part is key.
Absolutely key. Confusing the two can lead to some serious miscalculations. Imagine a pilot thinking they've reached their destination based only on distance flown, but they've actually drifted way off course because they didn't account for the wind direction, the vector nature of wind velocity. It really is the difference between knowing how much and knowing how much in which way.
Right, that makes sense. And this distinction, this vector stuff, this is where things get truly practical and honestly kind of cool. Because objects in the real world, they don't always move in neat straight lines, do they? And forces rarely act perfectly flat or perfectly straight up. Like, think about pulling a sled up a snowy hill. You're pulling it forward, sure, but you're also pulling it slightly upward against gravity.
Exactly. And that's where the ability to resolve vectors comes in. It's a core skill. It means breaking down a single diagonal force or motion, like your pull on the sled, into its separate perpendicular components, usually horizontal and vertical parts. So you can figure out exactly how much of your effort is actually moving the sled forward along the hill versus how much is just sort of lifting it slightly.
Okay, breaking it down into simpler parts that are easier to handle mathematically.
Precisely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this ability to break down and, importantly, combine vectors is absolutely fundamental, especially for understanding complex motion, like the path of a projectile.
Projectiles, like throwing a ball or.
Or a fired bullet, even a jet of water from a hose. Yeah. And this leads us to a fascinating, often counterintuitive fact about projectile motion. The horizontal movement is completely independent of its vertical motion. Assuming we ignore air resistance for simplicity, which we often do in introductory physics.
Wait, completely independent. How does that work?
Well, think about it. What force acts vertically? Gravity. It pulls everything downwards, but horizontally. Once the object is launched, there's no horizontal force acting on it, again, ignoring air resistance. So gravity only affects the vertical component of the motion, pulling it down faster and faster, but any initial horizontal speed it had just stays constant.
So they happen at the same time, but don't influence each other.
Exactly. This independence allows us to analyze them completely separately. We can use one set of equations for the vertical motion, with gravity as acceleration, and another for the horizontal motion, with zero acceleration. And that makes it possible to accurately predict things like how high something will go or how far it will travel horizontally its range. It's actually why a bullet dropped straight down from your hand hits the ground at the exact same time as one fired horizontally from a gun, assuming they start at the same height.
That is genuinely surprising when you first hear it, same time.
It is, but it follows directly from that independence principle.
Wow. Okay, so let's recap. We've journeyed through these foundational concepts of motion. We started with the equations that describe movement with constant acceleration.
Those five key variables, yep.
Then the really critical difference between scalars, just magnitude, and vectors, magnitude and direction.
And how that vector understanding, particularly resolving vectors into components, is crucial.
Right, and how all that empowers us to analyze and predict complex paths, like those of projectiles, by treating horizontal and vertical motion separately.
Ultimately, yeah, this deep dive into mechanics really shows us that even the most complex-looking real-world movements, I mean, think about the arc of a perfectly thrown football, or even the incredibly precise re-entry of a spacecraft, they can all be understood. They can be broken down into simpler, predictable components using these fundamental principles we've been talking about.
So for you, our curious listener, here's something to mull over. How might understanding this independence of horizontal and vertical motion, how might it change the way you observe or maybe even approach a simple activity, like, say, trying to throw a crumpled piece of paper into a bin across the room, or even just aiming a garden hose? Think about it.